Through the dead of night, seeking out broadcasting injustice wherever it appears. Only one man can wield it. Media Bat with Tim Bat, only on 95 BFM.
Morena Tim, how are you?
I am that man.
You are that man? What, that man?
It's a powerful intro.
It is a powerful intro.
A radio segment talking about, you know, the
hard-hitting media. we're taking it international, I believe, for the first one. What's going on here?
Elon Musk is what's going on here, as per usual. So people might be aware of this. Elon Musk made an offer to buy Twitter earlier this year when Twitter share price was a lot higher than it is right now. And in some sort of adolescent-style joke, made an offer to buy the company at $54.20 per share so he could get the 420 amount in there. The problem with that is $54.20 is a lot more than what its current share price is, which is $36.75. So to actually like game out these numbers, he made a legally binding agreement to buy Twitter for $43 billion.
Wow.
And according to the stock market, it's currently worth $28 billion.
Oh my God. Cringe.
So not quite half, but getting close to half of the value when he made this legally binding offer. Now, the interesting thing is Elon Musk waived his right to due diligence, which is something that would ordinarily happen with a deal this size. You get to poke around in the prospective company that you're going to buy inside their books and check the finances sort of stack up and look okay. He waived his right to that with the agreement that he made to buy the company from the shareholders. And so now he's tried to back out of the deal, which I spoke about last week, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And there had been talk about this sort of $1 billion penalty fee that was built into the arrangement if it couldn't go ahead for some reason that Twitter had added as a clause. But Twitter are going to take Elon Musk to court to try and force him to buy Twitter for the $43 billion that he said he would pay the shareholders.
Pride
for.
Before a fall.
Yeah. So the case is going to be heard in Delaware. That's where all of these sort of corporate cases happen. It's kind of the corporate capital of America. It's where most large corporations are incorporated because of their tax or lack of.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a very well set up court system to hear these sorts of cases. So they're very used to dealing with very intricate business dealings and, you know, big numbers and complicated corporate arrangements and that sort of thing. So there is some chat that actually Twitter was saying that they are hoping for a non-jury case to be started in mid-September. September 19th is what they're chasing, and their lawyers claim that it could be wrapped up in 4 days, but
wow.
All the experts that I'm hearing from say that that's very unlikely.
Okay.
But it probably wouldn't drag on too long. Now there's a couple of ways to kind of look at this, but I think the most likely thing that is happening here, based on Elon Musk's, you know, oeuvre, if you will, his sort of previous experience with wheeling and dealing, is that it's very likely that he has done a calculation in his head that this is the cheapest way for him to drive down the price of Twitter.
Right.
He's still making quite specific moves around rejigging his finance, which is only really something you would do if you were intending to buy Twitter. So he's making some arrangements behind the scenes to kind of get a more favorable term for himself from the people who are financing this deal. And taking Twitter to court would very likely result in some sort of settlement or agreement out of court so that they could end legal proceedings at some point, and that would probably be for Elon to continue to buy Twitter but for a lower amount than what he initially agreed to. Thing with Elon Musk, he's got pretty much infinite money, so he can
ridiculous
just throw lawyers at this thing. Twitter is, you know, obviously it's worth a lot of money, but it doesn't have the resources that Elon Musk has. So yeah, there's probably a case to be made that Elon could tie this in court for almost as long as he would like, and it would just further drive down the price of Twitter, and he's still on the hook for buying it.
Bloody but hell.
If you take it at face value, maybe he does want to actually back out of the deal. Who's to say?
It is buck wild. People shouldn't be allowed this type of money. In a tangential space, how's your Killionaire project going? Is that still happening, Tim? What's been going
on in
that
good,
world?
Thanks. Yeah. So on my and Guy Montgomery's podcast, Worst Idea of All Time, we're trying to figure out how to get a billionaire to $1 trillion and then murder them. I'll hasten to add it's a comedy podcast, yes. So you can't like sue us or anything. Yeah, we're getting through some fantastic ideas and we're getting towards the end where we'll actually figure out who's come up with the best plan.
Ooh.
If you want to hear those, worstideaofalltime.com.
Excellent. Thank you, Tim. What else is going on in the world of media?
Well, the project is being raked over the coals, rightly, for a story they ran yesterday. They featured a woman called Deborah Cunliffe on, who leads an organisation called Nurses for Freedom, saying that unvaccinated nurses should be allowed to return to professional healthcare settings, and they want an end to all legally mandated protections aimed at curbing COVID. So it's kind of worth watching the interview. It's like, you know, the most softball interview you could imagine. The project conducted some research through a market research company that I kind of like dug around with. It seems like they're not really used to doing this kind of scientific technical surveys.
Right.
They do more like consumer market research, you know, what sandwich do you prefer the best at Subway, that kind of thing. But anyway, to each their own. They keep bringing up this poll that they conducted from this company saying that 57% of New Zealanders would like to see the option for unvaccinated nurses go back to work. And then, yeah, as I say, this very softball interview was conducted with a woman who's leading an organization that very much appears to be a front, some might say, or I will say intimately connected with Voices for Freedom, which is just like an openly highly conspiratorial, yeah, anti-vax organization that puts out all kinds of crazy stuff online and in the media. I guess what this is a little bit concerning in terms of what it shows is that these outfits are professionalizing themselves. They're figuring out how to do convincing press releases. They're getting media training and they're managing to sort of penetrate our media organizations, which may not be as good at vetting these sorts of things as a lot of people would like, particularly based on the Facebook and Twitter comments that the project has received for having Deborah Cunliffe on. She went largely unchallenged in the interview about what she was saying. Jessie Mulligan did at one point directly ask her, how many registered nurses do you represent? And she sort of said that it was 75% of their 700 members. But people on Twitter are heavily disputing that. It would appear that, because there's a public register of currently registered nurses, you can check this stuff.
Yes.
So if you've got someone's name, you can put it in the database and see if they're currently registered. Based on that, people have been sort of fact-checking this themselves online and saying that that is not anywhere near the case. I had a look at Deborah's name. She is not registered. She's not a currently registered nurse. And according to Kyle Church, who is one of the co-hosts of One of 200 podcast, he says, I couldn't actually find the press release myself, but apparently in the Nurses for Freedom press release, which I assume led to this coverage in the project and also a pretty big write-up and stuff as well, that it says in their own press release that they are a subset of Voices for Freedom, which is pretty damning that they managed to get on, you know, mainstream TV. It's such a good slot. And just to sort of wrap that up, I think the person who put it best was someone on Twitter at A Water Valley, who just said, please don't interview conspiracy theorists again. Your format is too short and too light for that to be anything but a bad idea.
Totally. Very good summation there. Thank you, Tim, and thank you to that person on Twitter as well. Yeah. I hope you have a nice week. We will see. Are you doing comedy out and about anywhere at the moment?
I'm planning a lot of new shows which will be coming up soon, but tickets are on sale for the next Muck Around Comedy at Whammy, which is on First Thursday. So undertheradar.co.nz if you want to grab tickets for that. It's a very fun show. We have a lineup of fantastic comedians, and Luke Boys, the drummer from Dick Move, is on stage the whole time, drumming people on and off and just having a good time.
Amazing. Excellent. Thank you, Tim. Have a nice rest of your week, and we'll see you soon.
Kia ora.
Come back next week for another exciting adventure on Media Bat, only on 95 BFM.